Well, Mark Powers, who's a percussionist, he's an artist and an educator, and he is in town. He worked with the students at Great Expectations School today, and tomorrow night he's giving a concert. It's free at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts at 7 o'clock, and he's here to chat with us and give a little demo of his drumming talents. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you two doing?
Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Let's talk right away about your Cook County connection. I didn't know this when I first started speaking with you the other day.
Yeah, I left here right about 20 years ago. I lived here between 91 and 93 after mostly growing up around Bayfield area. Came up here and finished my last couple of years of school before heading down to Minneapolis for college. And other than the extremely occasional trip back, you know, for brief visits or to do a quick portaging adventure, it's been nearly that long since I've really gotten to come back and hang out. So it's been an absolute treat to be here and get to do what I do, get to share some percussion with everybody for the first time in this area.
I wonder if this feels like home to Mark, though. Apparently not, because he hasn't moved back.
Right.
There's other places that can be home as well.
That's true.
Very true.
Well, I would love to know how you got into this field. It seems very unique. You travel around the world and teach people how to do percussion?
I do, and a variety of percussion. I teach a lot of West African workshops, actually, and do drum set lessons and master classes, clinics, and such as well. And then what I'm doing in here, or in town here this weekend, doing junk jam, which is essentially playing on items that you would not normally consider to be musical instruments. And how I got into it... I started playing music in fifth grade and ended up getting serious about it here. Actually played in my first garage band here in Grand Marais and went to study music in Minneapolis. And after getting out and spending a couple of years playing rock and jazz and, you know, various popular styles, I wanted to get a little closer to the roots of all of the music that we had here in the States. So I decided to make a trip to West Africa and spent some time living in Ghana, studying in a little village. And that changed my life in a million different ways. I mean, it kind of changed my career path. You know, I started getting into teaching a little bit more, especially in large group settings after that. And it gave me this passion for traveling, which, you know, I can't seem to stop doing. And at one point, a school that I had done some work at asked me to come in and just teach an alternative percussion piece, a composition, wanted me to write something, come in, and along the lines of groups like Stomp, that you might be familiar with, you know, that travel around playing on push brooms and pickle buckets and such. She had asked me to come in and teach her kids a piece like that. So I wrote a piece, spent most of a quarter going in and teaching it. And after the kids had performed, other school teachers started asking me to do the similar sort of thing. But that was not a very scalable model, doing that for a quarter at each school, you know, spending a chunk of time there. So I quickly found a way that I could just... kind of condense things down to a one-hour workshop, so I could go in and either do a general assembly or individual workshops like I'm doing here in town this week. And so that's where the junk jam was born, started doing that. And then I also do a program called Rhythms at Work, which is a corporate team building workshop based on using a lot of the same instruments, all little rhythm-based activities.
What were some of the specific things in about the music in Ghana that inspired you so much?
Like I said, there was so many of the rhythms that came from that area into places like New Orleans that really were the early roots of blues, you know. I mean, rhythms that, you know, we've come to know by the names of like clave and such like that, that ended up...
Don't know that.
Yeah. A lot of musicians, you know, play a clave rhythm like a... common rhythm that is, you know, in the middle of a lot of different musical styles we have, and really became the basis of what became known as the Bo Diddley beat in early rock styles. And, you know, even, you know, jazz bands, you know, songs like Sing Sing Sing, Gene Krupa would play that sort of rhythm on the floor toms. And so it was very, very influential in a lot of our early styles. And so a lot of the what we would consider 4-4 rhythms or 12-8 rhythms, you know, not often thought of in those terms in West Africa, but a lot of rhythms that are within the styles that we play came from that area. And so it was just fascinating to actually get, like I said, a little closer to the roots and get to study them right there.
And of course, I wouldn't have made those connections. So I'm glad you were listening in Ghana.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Mark, why junk? Is it because everybody's got this stuff around, so there's no barrier with equipment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a number of reasons. First of all, it's something that everybody has around, and you know, today it's good to recycle wherever we can, and so we're using things that we already have, like I talk about in programs, that are cheap or preferably absolutely free, things that are around the kitchen, things that are in the garage or around the community. And I think it also is something that is not a quote unquote musical instrument, so it's a little less intimidating to some people who, you know, otherwise would think that they, you know, can't play something and are, you know, scared to just, you know, strum a guitar or, you know, take a drumstick and, you know, hit an actual drum set or something. So you can kind of you know, be used in situations where people would otherwise be a little bit timid. And percussion, I think, is extremely primal to all of us. You know, voice and percussion were the two earliest instruments ever. You know, I mean, we ended up striking things, whether it was a stick hitting the side of a tree or a rock, and we vocalized things. So I think there's things that are very primal and natural to people. But today we can sometimes hesitate to use both of those things. So, you know, in programs, I try to let people just cut loose a little bit and kind of, you know, find their inner rhythms.
You know, maybe it'd be fun right now to hear you play something. You could describe, or Ant can describe, what you're playing and what you're doing, but that'd be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I've got kind of a little collection of some random kitchen items and a couple of buckets and such here, so maybe I'll put a couple of rhythms together for you.
All right, I'll move a mic down and you go for it.
Mark Powers is getting ready to play us a little music. We just have to move our mics here a little bit.
He's approaching the toaster oven now.
Oh, he is? I'm getting a little hungry. What you going to stick in there?
We were hearing the dinger on the toaster oven, and he's been drumming on some pots and pans and what looked like a broiler pan. And he started that out by playing the spoons on his knee.
So we're hearing his knee or the spoons?
We were hearing the spoons, but on his knee as well. Now he's playing pot lids. And he's using his other hand to mute, you know, to stop the vibration. Mixing bowls. With wooden drumsticks. Coffee cans. I think that was a dog food bowl, that lower noise. Can with some sort of rice or beans or something in it.
What, he hit a mouse or what?
I can't tell what that is. Some sort of squeaky toy. We'll have to ask him. 5 gallon buckets, 3 of them. That was like a metal canister, like a fire extinguisher can almost. Wow, that was awesome.
Nice job.
That's Mark Powers drumming on All Kinds of Junk here in Studio A. Was that ever cool?
Thank you much.
Love it. You know, I was going to clean out my garage with a dumpster, but I don't think so now. I think I'm going to set up a little...
Oh, no. Go running in there with a couple of drumsticks. Have some fun.
I know if the dog bowl is empty, your dog will be howling. Yeah. Could add a little to the music.
That was fabulous.
One thing I really enjoy about doing this is that it's kind of forced, constant improvisation for mm-hmm. me because, you know, like tomorrow evening's performance, which is actually a little less a concert as much as just kind of a community workshop. I really want to... Get people engaged doing things, you know, show people what I was doing in the schools today. And, you know, if anyone's listening and wants to bring items along, you know, bring things that you that make a cool sound that you'd like to contribute sonically. And I know that Arrowhead Center for the Arts has been kind of filling the stage with random objects. I've been hearing about car parts and different things. So it's a lot of fun because I enjoy coming out and performing a solo on things that I've never seen before. I don't know what they sound like. And when I hit something, you know, the sounds that they make, whether it resonates or not, what the pitch is, tends to inspire me to go different directions with what I'm playing. So it's always a lot of fun, and it kind of keeps things fresh.
That's great.
Well, when you're drumming like that, you know, just like any other instrument, a song is still basically played the same all the time, but now you're improvising all the time. Do you find yourself going to the same places?
You know, there are certain things that I go back to once in a while, you know, with the pot lids. Actually, interestingly enough, you know, if you were able to see the pot lids, you actually see in black Sharpie, I have little notes written on them. There are, you know, there's really? there's a G sharp and an A there and a couple of different notes. And I have about an octave of tuned pot lids. Thrift stores are one of my favorite places to get kicked out of. I tend to go in with a drumstick in my pocket and a little guitar tuner, pull out some pot lids, you know, listen for ones that have a lot of resonance and a very nice, clean, you know, pure pitch, find what note it is, and then add it to my collection. And so when I'm playing those sorts of things, there are some little patterns. I'm actually often stealing a couple of little West African bell rhythms and things like that, and then I just kind of play off the melody. So there are some things that I come back to on a regular basis.
Yeah, if you're ever out to my house, you won't be allowed in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's best to keep me out of there.
You know, I have a question. You have all this, you know, kind of kitchen items and garage items, hardware-ish stuff. What about objects found in nature? Do you use those to drum as well?
Oh, yeah, you absolutely can. You know, I mean... stick on stick, you know, wood on wood on trees and such are some of the earliest objects, and definitely can be a lot of things found outside and a lot of wood made objects for sure that not only sound great, but you know, things like that were used ages ago for communication over longer distances as well.
Yeah, your imagination is the only barrier you have.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's why I try to get across in the programs. Like I said, I mean, this is all about creativity, and there's no one yet has written a book on the right or wrong way to play a bunch of garbage, although that's a great idea. So I might get to work on that. But, you know, I talk to students about the fact that, you know, any instrument that they may already be playing, that they may be taking lessons on or a class on, it's often very important to learn the rhythms and melodies and, you know, harmonies or chords for that instrument, and learn, you know, what are often considered proper techniques for playing them. But regardless, if you go online these days, you're going to find somebody playing your instrument in a way that you never dreamed possible. There are people that are using their creativity and taking a piano or taking a drum set or taking a violin and getting outside the box and just applying, you know, completely mind-blowing techniques to it and making sounds of that instrument that you would not normally think of doing or be able to do if you, you know, just simply followed, you know, what you were told. And so this is a good way to kind of experiment with that creativity, because there is no, you know, right way. So, you know, you're kind of improvising and using your creativity right off the bat.
You got any stories for us about what kids have played for you as you've been instructing young people?
Just as far as like the things that they've played?
Yeah, or something that really surprised you. The kid comes up and just does this or does that.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've had some funny experiences. I've had some students show up with incredible things, you know, at programs. Sometimes schools will make instruments before I get there, and sometimes it blows my mind what kids have, you know, spent the last several weeks building in their garages. But another thing we talk about doing is using our bodies, because again, like I said, you know, voice and percussion, some of the earliest instruments ever, and our bodies are an instrument that we're carrying around with us everywhere that we go. So we don't even necessarily need any of this junk or anything else. And so we talk about some body percussion, you know, some ham bone ideas, you know, ham bones used even today in the U.S.
I don't think Buck and I know what ham bone is.
You know, just basically, you know, using stomps, claps, playing on your leg, you know, making different rhythms like that, similar to what are already done in a lot of little kids' games and things like that. So we present those ideas, and on more than one occasion, I've had a student raise his hand and, you know, say something along the lines of, "Oh, do you mean like this?" And then just bust out some amazing things that there's no way you'd be able to catch me pulling off. And it's like, yeah, what he said.
You know, it's always amazing what kids do anyway.
Very true.
And it just startles you where their brains go. So I was curious as where their brains might have gone with this.
Yeah. You know, it's I've definitely had some kids surprise me. And these days with the resources out there, I mean, it's incredible how quickly students can pick up on any instrument. You know, there's some great resources. So I've seen kids teach themselves how to play piano by watching YouTube videos and, you know, learn songs by their favorite artists, you know, that way as well. And a lot of great resources. So I think that, you know, if a kid is interested, you know, he or she can learn faster than ever because there's a lot out there available to them.
Do you play other instruments besides percussion?
Not really, no. Uh-huh. You know, I've dabbled in a little bit of this and that, you know, from time to time, but nothing that you would want to hear me subjecting you to.
I wonder if drums sound better in the shower, too.
Haven't tried that yet.
Have I ever told you, Buck, that my fantasy is to come back in my next life as a rock and roll drummer?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I think that'd be really awesome.
I wonder if you could be as good as Mark.
Well, probably not.
You could totally rock it.
Since it's all in my imagination anyway, maybe I could be. You know, you mentioned that you got serious about music when you were living here like 20 years ago. Did you also start playing on junk at that time?
No, not at all.
When did you start this? How did you think of it?
Like I said, it kind of came out of
Ghana?
Actually largely the school program, the teacher that wanted me to teach a workshop along those lines. So, you know, just kind of borrowing ideas from groups like Stomp, you know, and Blue Man Group to play on a lot of PVC. You know, I remember writing an original composition, but really, you know, ripping off those sorts of concepts and instrumentation. And then when other schools wanted me to, you know, start doing that, you know, something on a regular basis, compress it into a shorter program. And then that's when I just kind of started, you know, actually paying attention to sounds a little bit more. And like I said, raiding thrift stores and the metal ductwork section of, you know, Home Depot and stuff like that. And started just kind of finding little sounds and collecting things wherever I went.
Buck, you probably have a whole musical section there in your hardware store.
That's going to be just as taboo as my kitchen.
I'm going to be kicked out of town by the time I'm done.
No, not at all. I just read in your background here that you also do some work in correctional facilities.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get invited there, or is it part of a regular program that they do for correctional facilities for the prisoners, or is it something that you've developed?
You know, I suppose a little bit of both. You know, as far as, you know, how I get invited there, it's not unlike everything else that I do. You know, lots of word of mouth. You know, somebody has seen a program somewhere and is interested in it and would like, you know, for either their staff, you know, or, you know, their patients or whoever to work with, depending on the facility. So sometimes they do, you know, will have like little art series or just little educational series where they'll bring different people in to teach things. And honestly, they've been some of my favorite. You know, that can be challenging, but some of my favorite because, you know, it's a population that is not exposed to a lot, and, you know, it's typically, you know, men or women who are doing well where they're at, that are able to participate in extracurricular, you know, programs like this, but they're oftentimes very, very engaged in it. And it's cool. I've had a few programs that have ended up having them, you know, write little reports about their experience with the program after the fact. And, you know, when I've gotten a chance to see that sort of thing, it's great. And they tend to be the programs that have the most questions. And, you know, I could just sit there with all day, you know, answering all the different inquiries that they have. They were a lot of fun.
Go ahead, Ann.
I was wondering if we could get him to play one more thing.
I bet you can. I just open up the kitchen sink over here. And he'll find something that sounds great.
Would you?
I think we could totally do that.
That would be great. That's Mark Powers on the assortment of kitchen and hardware items he's brought into Studio A here on the Roadhouse.
We'll see if he found something new over there. He's lucky that we didn't find our instruments. Deb right. had them locked up.
She Buck's was smart. Killer on the kazoo, Mark.
It's the only one that we've kept. I know that the next time we have a pledge drive, I'm going to give Mark a call because he could really do well there.
Well, yeah, we can bring in our kitchen stuff. These are pot lids, but they're right side up this time instead of upside down. Very nice. Mark Powers finishing off with the toaster oven timer. You know, I liked how you you made those smaller upside down cups sound almost like a xylophone.
Yeah, those have very, very cool sound. And when they're kind of muffled on the floor like that, it's pretty cool making little melodies on them.
That's fun. Has there ever been an object that you tried to drum with that just didn't work?
That's a good question. Not really. That's actually very interesting because it reminds me of an idea that a friend of I have had for quite some time. There was a YouTube, a crazy viral YouTube video series for a while. I think it was called "Is It Blendable?" And so this guy would put random objects in a blender and
like Bass-O-Matic from Saturday Night Live.
And try to decide like, you know, can this be blended, you know? And sometimes things would, you know, be blowing sparks out all over the place. And I have another great percussion buddy who I've chatted with about the idea of starting a YouTube series called "Is It a Percussion Instrument?" And, you know, finding random objects, you know, it could be an iPad, you know, it could,
not yours.
Could be a bottle of water, you know, you never know. And we just, you know, put it through the test and see if you can use it as a percussion instrument. Most likely, pretty much everything you can somehow use that way. But
that's great. Cool. So you mentioned you love to travel. Where do you head from here?
From here, the next stop is actually finishing up the Midwest. I've been around most of the month, so I'm just headed down to Omaha and then to Portland to finish up the month with a couple of school programs out that area, which is roughly where I call home base right now. And then just kind of a interesting summer coming up with lots of gigs with various bands. You know, this time of year right now, I'm kind of wrapping up doing a lot of school programs, and mm-hmm. then everything I do kind of shifts into performance mode for the summer.
And can you share your website so folks can check out what you do?
Absolutely. Just powerspercussion.com. So it's my last name and my instrument, powerspercussion.com. I keep a schedule on there, as well as, you know, discography, you know, info about any recordings I do and all of the other percussion products that I have and stuff on there.
Great. Well, thank you so much. It was really fun having
you
here.
Definitely
the most unique instruments I think we've had played in here, except for the rubber chicken.
Well, that's true. And then we got to listen to the sound of ice this last winter.
That was
cool, Mark.
That was cool. Nice. We had a recording booms. Artist in here who went out on the lake and recorded the sounds of ice.
See, I find that fascinating because I would love to. I recorded an album in East Africa about a year and a half ago, and I would love to record an album on every continent, and I figure that Antarctica will largely be sounds of ice.
And well, he's from the yep. area that that you're very familiar with in
yep,
Wisconsin.
There's his name.
Very
Google
cool.
him, and
I am
it's
totally
really
him
cool.
Up.
You can Great. Listen to it online.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.